Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Is it okay if I get tired of hearing well-meaning, heaven-bound Christians talk about how they're failures in life? Now listen, I've said it for years. Failure is an event. It's not who you are. Failure is never final if you have a God-given desire and direction to change your destiny. We're the only ones. We're the only ones who choose whether failure or success is our ultimate destination.
1 Corinthians 12, verse 31 in the Classic Amplified Bible. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all, love.
Does it sound like God wants you to fail or to settle for less than his best as your lot in life? We don't think so. Here are the A to Z's on how to turn failure straight into success. A, admit it when you mess up. The best way to overcome failure is to face it, learn from it, and move on.
Proverbs 28:13 in the Living Bible. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful, but if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance.
B, boldly refuse to accept failure as final, regardless of how badly you may have messed up. On May 29, 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary was the first man to climb Mount Everest, 29,000 feet straight up. He was knighted by the Queen of England for his efforts. People remember his triumph, but few people know that he failed in his first attempt a year earlier. Later, he was asked to speak in an audience that recognized his first attempt at greatness. But Hillary saw himself as a failure. But he walked to the edge of the platform, made a fist, pointed at a picture of Mount Everest, and then said in a loud voice, "Mount Everest, you beat me the first time, but I'm going to beat you the next time, because you've grown all you're going to grow, but I'm still growing."
Amen.
When we learn to accept failure as a learning experience, we can keep growing. C, concentrate on what you want to accomplish. Have you ever heard someone say they're a jack of all trades but a master of none? Such an admission generally means the person, well, they don't have the ability to concentrate on a single area until they master it.
1 Timothy 4, verse 13 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Till I come, devote yourself to public and private reading, to exhortation, preaching and personal appeals, and to teaching and instilling doctrine.
If the Word of God tells us to do something, we should concentrate on accomplishing what the Word tells us to do. And one more thing. It's very important that we teach our children a love of reading the Word. Here are five quick but powerful suggestions on getting children, our children, and our grandchildren involved in the Word of God at a young age. Number one, teach them by example. There's always more that's caught than taught. If your children see you reading the Word, if it's a priority in your day, then it'll be more likely to become a priority for them as well.
Number two, ask your children what they're thinking about. Do they have questions which you can use the Word to find answers for? Key your Bible reading to their interest and not just yours.
Number three, reading the Word together is always a wonderful idea for every family.
Number four, buy them their own Bible. Make sure it's one they will understand.
We strongly recommend, hear me now, don't get upset with me, strongly recommend that not buying your child the King James Bible unless it's a study Bible. Because for the most part, they're not going to understand that beautiful 17th century poetic language. If they're reading the New King James Version, or the King James Version is more important than them understanding it, the problem may lie with the parent and not the child. We recommend the New Living Translation because it has a conversational flow without sacrificing the integrity of the word in the translation. And by the way, there's some exceptionally good teen study Bibles.
Number five, as your child or children get older, encourage them to use a journal to write down things they've learned, or maybe even things they're questioning, or whatever sparked their interest in the scripture that they're reading.
According to 1 Timothy 4:15 in the Message Bible, we're to concentrate on the Word. This is a real key to our future success.
1 Timothy 4:15 says, cultivate these things, immerse yourselves in them. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes.
D, decide in your heart, decree and declare by the words of your mouth that your dreams, your goals will come to pass despite previous setbacks.
Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 in the Classic Amplified Bible tells us, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. The King James Version of Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths.
According to Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word for acknowledge, H3045 means to know by experience, to perceive and see, to recognize, admit, acknowledge, confess. We decree and declare our success by our confession. E, elevate your thinking.
Ezra 10, verse 4 in the New Living Translation says, get up, for it is your duty to tell us how to proceed in setting things straight. We are behind you, so be strong and take action.
We cannot focus on things that happened yesterday, last week, 6 months, or 3 years ago. If we do, well, we'll always remain the victim. But if we elevate our thinking to concentrate on the good things in our lives, the things that are going right, then success is at hand. Albert Einstein once said, we cannot solve our problems with the same level of thinking that created them. F, free your mind from mistakes of the past, bondages of the present, and fear of failure. First, we must not recall sinful events for which we've been forgiven. If we look back and bring them to our remembrance, then we've allowed the enemy to gain a foothold into our thought process.
Second, God not only forgives our sins, our mistakes of the past, He forgets them as well. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, I am He who blots out and cancels your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. The Message Bible translation of Isaiah 43:25 puts it this way. But I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins.
Third and finally, if we want to maximize our potential for the kingdom now and the remainder of 2018, then we must learn how to manifest 2 Corinthians 2:5 in our lives.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Forget the past. Bring every thought into captivity now. And read 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 yourself. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. G, grab a new desire. Ignite a passion to make things happen instead of waiting for something to happen. First, realize that what we've been doing isn't working. That means it's time to do things differently.
Second, believe that every promise of God is for you as much as it is for anybody else.
Third, learn, study, and practice all of our goal-setting techniques.
Fourth, never get defensive over what didn't work. Instead, brainstorm on ideas that will work.
I believe Dr. Ben Carson, a man that I greatly admire, once said, "You have the ability to choose which way you want to go. You have to believe great things are going to happen in your life. Do everything you can. Prepare, pray, and achieve to make it happen." That's an amazing quote. H, helping others achieve their dreams will unleash a spiritual dynamic in your life. Two powerful quotes underscore the importance, no, not importance, the absolute necessity of helping other people. Brian Tracy, the motivational speaker, said, "Successful people are always looking for opportunities to help others. Unsuccessful people are always asking, what's in it for me?" John Wooden, the legendary basketball coach at UCLA, once said, "Be true to yourself. Help others. Make each day your masterpiece. Make friendship a fine art. Drink deeply from good books, especially the Bible. Build a shelter against a rainy day. Give thanks for your blessings and pray for guidance every day." Wow, that's a great quote. Whatever good thing you cause to happen for someone else, God will do for you. That's not only sound advice. It's the Word of God from Ephesians 6:8. We're not going to finish this today, and we'll pick it up tomorrow, but let me just say, it might be a good idea to go back and review or listen to the playback of this call. You can do that by dialing 1-712-432-0990. Access code is the same. But it might be a good idea to listen to it again and get these A, B, C, D, F, G, H, get those down inside of you. You like the way I said that? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. We'll pick up on I tomorrow. And speaking of tomorrow, until then, go to heraldhearing.com. If you've been blessed by the teaching up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed to have you put in the ground. Do what he says, so whoever asks. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We appreciate you. We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.